Good morning. Hi, so good to see so many of you here this morning. Good to be able to share with you. This is, unfortunately, for us, our last Sunday. Our time has swiftly passed by. We've enjoyed sharing from God's Word with you. And we trust we've been blessed. I know that I've been challenged, and many of you have said to me that you've enjoyed the Word that we've been looking at. For those of you who are joining us for the first time this morning, we've been looking at the cross and why did Christ have to die on the cross. And it seemed so appropriate that we were led to do this because in the meantime that movie came out and you've seen, maybe some of you have seen it, if not all of you. And I trust a combination of what we've been going through on Sundays, and if you've had the opportunity to see that movie, it has had an impact on your life. I don't see how it hasn't if you've seen it. And if you've been joining us Sunday mornings, the cross is such an important thing in our lives. And actually not so much the cross, but the one who died on the cross. That's the purpose of it all, his death on that cross. Just before we read this morning, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have again this morning to share your precious word. Father, we pray that you might use your word today to challenge our hearts afresh. And we pray if there might be one in our midst this morning who know you not as their personal Savior, that they may realize the importance this day of making that commitment in their lives to the one who died, who loved them so, who gave his life that we might live. Bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share just a couple of verses of scripture as we begin this morning. In the 9th chapter of Hebrews, the 9th chapter of Hebrews, just verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Then in the 10th chapter, in the 3rd verse, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And in verse 12, but this man, what man? Ordinary man? No, the Lord Jesus himself. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Isn't it beautiful this morning? Not on a continual basis, but one sacrifice for sins, and not just for this month, next month, 6 months down the road, but forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts today. We've looked over the last 3 Sundays, and we've had to go through it rather rapidly because of the sake of time. As I said in the beginning, these studies that we've been looking at normally take from 45 minutes to an hour. But I've chosen the important points out of them to try and share with you so that we might get an idea of what we're talking about. We looked originally at the symbols of the cross. Then we looked at the opinions that men have on the cross, and they were varied, and they are today. Perhaps there are those of you in here this morning that have your opinions of what the cross is all about. Then we looked as well on the offensiveness of the cross, how that the cross offends people. To the Jews, the scripture says, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. And it is offensive, and it was offensive, and it still is. Then we looked as well at the dilemma of the cross. The cross presented a dilemma. There were two dilemmas, as a matter of fact. God faced a dilemma, and man faced a dilemma. The dilemma that God had was that he had made man, and man had sinned. And God, being a holy God, could not condone man's sin. God's holiness required death. On the other side, God's love gives life. And so there was a dilemma that God faced. Death or life? There had to be justice somewhere. On the other side, after man had sinned, there was man sinful and helpless. Our sin had separated us from a holy, loving God. Our helplessness put us in a position where there was nothing that we could do to regain that position with God. And so there was a gap we saw. That gap. There was a vacancy in between. And something was done about that. And I thank God for that. We looked at this last week, the resolution of the cross. So what was the resolution between God, his holiness and his love, and you and I, our sinfulness and our helplessness? Now, I realize there are many people in our world today, they don't feel too helpless when we come to talking about God. They feel that because of certain things that they do in life, their good works and who they are, and we looked at some of this as well last week. With the families we brought up into and the countries that we live in, the Bahamas is supposed to be a God-fearing, holy, righteous nation. But are we, really? Not when you turn on your radio or the television and you see what's happening in our country. The United States of America, I heard someone say since I've been here that they took a poll and 90%, and I was shocked, 90% of America said that they are Christians. 10% aren't. And I'll tell you, the 10% is really controlling the 90 in a very strong way. But is this so? And I would disagree with that. I would disagree with that. But in the meantime, there had to be a resolution. There had to be a resolution. But the good news is, as we looked at last week, love found a way. Love found a way. I thank God for that today. Because not one of us would be here this morning were it not for the love of God. Not one. We would be, maybe we would have already been gone. We don't know. But were it not for the love of God, we would not be here. But love found a way, and love found another tree. Perhaps we've never looked at it in that light. The first tree created a separation between man and his maker because of disobedience. Man disobeyed God, and we became separated from God. But love found another tree, and that tree was the cross upon which Jesus died. The cross upon which Jesus died. Love found a way. He found a tree. God in his wisdom provided a way to undo the terrible damage that Adam and Eve had done. And I tell you, when you stop and think about it, it was awful. One man, one woman, in that one moment of disobedience in their lives, created the world in which we live today, the sin and the shame and the sorrow and the pain. And I said last week, and I say again this week, I often wonder sometimes as I read the scriptures, if Adam and Eve could only come back, just come back and see the result of their disobedience. And these things happen in our lives as well, because of our disobedience to God and the lives that we sometimes live. It destroys the things that are around us. But Romans 5, 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Abraham died for the ungodly?" No. He was a man, just like you and I. Christ died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a holy, loving God. And we have a sinful, helpless man. And in between, now, we have the resolution, the resolve, the hope, the life, the joy, the peace that can only be found in this one, Jesus Christ. And He bridges that gap. Praise God. He bridged that gap. And in doing so, and I want to look at this morning, in doing so, we have the principles of the cross. We looked at this just briefly last week, but we ran out of time. Principles of the cross, the fundamental truth or the foundation of what we believe. And this morning, the principle of the cross is found in two things. It was an adequate sacrifice and a necessary substitution. An adequate sacrifice and a necessary substitution. Hebrews 9:22, I read, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There can be no forgiveness for you and I without a sacrificial death. We want to look at that first this morning. The cross provided an adequate sacrifice. Through His death on the cross, the Lord Jesus presented to God. Through His death on the cross, the Lord Jesus presented to God a sacrifice sufficient to pay. Now this is really something that we need to think about. He presented to God a sacrifice sufficient to pay for the sins of Adam and Eve? No. For the sins of the entire human race. How wonderful. That's why we're here this morning. Because of that sufficient sacrifice that Christ made. In Hebrews chapter 10, and I read a couple verses of it, we find there the animal deaths of the Old Testament days. It says, "In those sacrifices there is a remembrance made again of sins every year." In other words, those sacrifices were insufficient. They were only temporary. They would last for just a year, and then it would be repeated over and over and over again. Oh, the animals that had been slaughtered. You read the scriptures. Millions of animals down through the years have been slaughtered, and their blood was offered as a sacrifice. Now, if that blood of that animal could have taken care of their sins forever, there would be no reason to offer a continual sacrifice. And that's why we say this morning it was insufficient. It was not good enough. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He alone, because of His sinlessness, He who knew no sin, would take upon Himself my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world. And it boggles our mind as we sit and study the scriptures. When we think of that, in our world just today, there is approximately 6 billion. Now that boggles the mind when you start rolling these figures out. 6 billion people alive all around this world. And Jesus Christ took all of our sins combined upon Himself as He died on that cross. It's a song that we sing sometimes. It's Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior. No one else and nothing else was good enough or sufficient enough to please God, to bridge that gap between God and man. But the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus did. Hebrews 10:4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats could take away our sins. And furthermore, as we read in Leviticus 4, 2-7, these sacrifices were for sins that were committed involuntarily and through ignorance or through human weaknesses. I was reading through this again yesterday. Through ignorance and human weaknesses, these sacrifices were offered. That is why we read about David, when David repented of his double sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. He didn't. Nowhere do we read that he presented a sacrifice. He came before God, and the scripture says in Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17, he came before God with a broken and a contrite heart. Sacrifice of blood for that was not sufficient. He came before God with a broken and a contrite heart to find forgiveness for his sins. By his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ provided a once and for all. I read that in the 12th verse of Hebrews. It says, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Forever. He was the complete and perfect sacrifice. The complete and perfect sacrifice. And you know something? It satisfied. It satisfied the demands of a holy God. It satisfied what God demanded for you and I. As we mentioned earlier, there was God in His holiness. And that holiness required that we be obedient or face death. But the scripture says, because He was not willing that any should perish, He provided a sacrifice, and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, complete, perfect, it satisfied the demands of a holy God. And beyond that, it brings salvation to all mankind. It brings salvation to all mankind. So if you are here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is because of that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. You know, we talk a lot, we've mentioned it since we've been here, about the cross, and we think a lot about the cross, and we should. But beloved, we should not concentrate so much of our time and effort just on the cross. Rather, we should concentrate our time and our efforts on the one who died on the cross. On the one who died on the cross. You see, that cross could have stood there forever and would have had no meaning to any of us. It could have been looked at as just another tree. But that was God's tree chosen to put His Son upon. And it's because of Jesus' death upon that cross, the sacrifice that He was willing to make, you and I today can be a part of the greatest family in all of the world. The family of God. The family of God. His sacrifice was adequate for several reasons. Number one, he became a member of the human family. When we think about that, he became a member of the human family so that he could truly represent you and I, something that nobody else, no angel could ever do. He took upon himself a human nature. He lived a sinless life. Although he was confronted by temptations, we read of his temptations, of the mental anguish that he suffered, the spiritual temptations, but yet the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, he did not sin. Why? Because he could not sin. He could not sin. But yet, and this is the wonder of it all, you know, we hear him sometimes say, oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all is that he could die for my sin and your sin. And that just by mere simply placing one's faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our sins could be forgiven. Forgiven forever. We have a new nature, a new hope, and a new life. Thank God. Thank God. He lived the sinless life, but he died for our sins. He remained God, even though Christ became fully human. He still retained his full deity. There's one thing that we must remember as we hear this, as we talk about, he became man. But he was not half God and half man. Never. Never. He was fully God and fully man. Sometimes that may be difficult to understand, but we need to get into the Word and let God speak to our hearts from it. He was fully God, yet fully man, so that he could understand. When we cry to him and we tell him about the needs of our lives, the pain, the heartaches, whatever it may be, it isn't like that we're talking to someone up there who doesn't understand. You know, he's just looking around as if he's lost. No. He came and he took upon himself this human nature so that he could know when you and I talk to him what it's all about. And he understands, beloved. He understands what it is, no matter what it may be. He's been through it all before for you and I. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands them all. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that's the beauty of it all. That's the beauty of it all. In our human nature, as the temptations come, we are prone to sin. We are prone to make mistakes in life. But never once did he sin. Never once. Because yet he was fully man. He was fully God. Then we have the second part of this. The cross provided not only a necessary or perfect sacrifice, but it provided a necessary substitute. Jesus said himself in Mark 10:45 that he was come to give his life as a ransom for many. Come to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, whether the disciples whom he was talking to at that time recognized it or not, they would soon learn what he was talking about. They would soon learn that he would die for their sins on that cross. That he would die in their place and in our place on that cross at Calvary. He died the death that all of us should have died. We never look at it in that light. But it's a fact. Jesus died the death that all of us should have died. The punishment that you and I deserved. Why? Because of what happened way back in the Garden of Eden. Because of man's disobedience. Man's unwillingness to obey God. And yet man followed the path that Satan suggested. And broke that perfect relationship that we had. and we became sinful and helpless, as we've already looked at this morning. But John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And we looked at this the first Sunday night that we were here. We looked at six different points of John 3:16. He so loved the world, the greatest love that man has ever known or will ever know. We talk about love in this life, but our love is fickle. Our love fades and passes away within moments, within hours. But God's love is forever. And I can go on saying forever and ever and ever. And I can find no end. God's love is forever. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So because of our helplessness, God, in love, sent His Son to be the propitiation. And that's a big word. Sometimes you get tongue-tied when you say it. But that word propitiation means a little word, but yet important. Gift. He gave His Son to be the gift. What gift? My gift. Your gift. God's gift to you and I. And we accept this gift by faith and believe that what He says, He can do. The gift that God gave. Isaiah 53:5. As we look at this substitute, says, He was wounded for Joseph's transgressions. He was wounded for Abram, for David. No, He was wounded for Gareth Roberts and whatever your name may be. For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes. See the change? You go from our to His. By His stripes, we are healed. And beloved, that is a healing process that the greatest doctor in all the world could never accomplish. That process that takes place in a human life instantly when we just ask God to forgive us of our sins. Because of this substitute. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body. His own body, substitute for you and I on that tree. When Jesus said that He had come to give His life as a ransom for many, the people that He spoke to in that day probably thought that He was talking about the Jewish sacrificial systems. They had been associated with animal deaths and blood sacrifices all of their lives. They thought that this was a symbol of a transfer of guilt from a sinner to an animal. That's what was going through their minds. And even the Jews of today have still not yet accepted the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and that the sacrifice of His blood was to take away their sins as well. They still have not yet accepted that. But the same principle of the substitute was later fulfilled in the one of whom John the Baptist writes in John 1:29, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, that would take away the sins of the world. There is a story, and I don't know if I've told it, maybe you've heard it, of a Indian chief and his mother. Any of you heard it? I'm going to share it with you this morning because I think it's so important. It brings together in a way that perhaps we can understand even better of what we've been trying to talk about this morning. It says, this is illustrated, this sacrifice, by a true story from American history. In a tribe of Indians, someone was stealing chickens, and the chief declared that if caught, the offender would receive 10 lashes. But the stealing continued. He raised it to 20 lashes. Still, the chickens disappeared. In anger, the chief raised the sentence to 100 lashes, a sure sentence of death. No one could stand to take 100 lashes upon their backs. The thief was finally caught. The chief faced a dilemma. It was his mother. It was his mother. When the day of penalty came, the tribe gathered. Would the chief's love override the chief's justice? Would he allow his mother to take that 100 lashes? The crowd gasped when he ordered his mother to be tied to a whipping post. The chief removed his shirt, revealing his powerful stature. Apparently he was a big man. He took the whip in his hand, and instead of raising it to strike the first blow, he handed it to a strong young brave standing by his side. Slowly, he walked over to his mother, and he wrapped his massive arms around that one that he loved, and he ordered the brave to proceed with the lashes. Beloved, what a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ and his love. Because he saw you and I, yes, you and I, down through the years, the eternity, 2,000 years ends, and he loved us. Oh, beloved, we can't begin to imagine that. He loved us with a love that is beyond compare. And he was willing to throw his arms around us and have the thorns placed upon his brow, the unmerciful beating that he took all the way to Calvary, and to lay upon that cross and die because he loved me. Oh, it's hard. It's hard to understand. But just as that chief did, he threw his arms around his mother, and he did it not because he wanted to prove that he was manly, because he was able perhaps to take the 100 lashes, but he threw his arms around his mother because he said, I love you, mother. I don't want you to die. And Jesus said that as he provided that substitute on the cross of Calvary to every one of us. I love you. I don't want you to die. I have something better for you. I have a home. I'm going to take you there someday. I just want you to trust me. Beloved, that's the story of the cross this morning. That's the story of the cross. What Jesus did for us in love, he became our substitute at Calvary. There was nothing we could do. We heard this last week. We were helpless and hopeless. And it is only because of him, and that love has never changed, thank God. Down through the years, the love of God today is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest mountains and sinks into the lowest hell, the love of God. And I thank God this morning for that love of God that I've experienced in my life, and I trust that you can say the same thing today. Thank you, God. Thank you for taking my place. When in my condition, condemned, not because of my sin, but because of Adam's sin, powerless to do anything under the penalty of death. And then when I look and see that God was bound to punish that sin by death because of his holiness, to do less would be to violate his own character. But because of love, he saved man from that sentence of death. And so as we look and close this resolution this morning, Christ, God's Son, became human, lived the sinful life, died on our behalf. His sacrificial substitutionary death made possible my salvation, your salvation, a hope that lives within our hearts that one day we're going to see Him as our Savior. So now the square is filled. We have a holy God that's loving. We have a sinful, helpless man. And in between, we have a loving Savior. A loving Savior who was willing to sacrifice and substitute on our behalf Himself upon that tree. What more could we ask today? What more? What more could we say? Other than, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking our place on that cross, dying in our room and in our stead. The result of the cross, and I'll be finished. The result of the cross gives four things to you and I, or three, yes, four. I want to share them just briefly with you this morning, and I think they're important. You see, if we could merit our own salvation, Christ would never have had to die to provide it. But we couldn't. We've heard that already. So the cross, the change that you and I have, is spelled out in four basic concepts. First of all, it's a reconciliation. We're at peace with God. When Christ died on the cross, there was that reconciliation that we had no hope of ever making. He made it possible for us to be reconciled to God and to be restored back to fellowship with Him. That fellowship was so sweet. The Bible tells us in Genesis, when God made man and placed him in the garden, He would come down in the cool of the day and walk and talk with man. And what happened after Adam and Eve sinned? He drove man out of the garden. And it came to a point where he said, it repented me that I have ever made man. But thank God, because of Jesus, we become reconciled. And we read this in much of the scriptures. We became justified. I heard a preacher say one time, that word justification means just as if I had never sinned. Justified. When God forgives our sins, He forgets. He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. When Christ died and absorbed our punishment on that cross, and we believe in Him and accept Him as our Savior, our sins are cast into the deep sea, away from God forever. Thirdly, we have redemption. We are ransomed from our sins, and no more condemnation have I. No more. We're no longer condemned before God because of Christ's death. And fourthly, we have the propitiation, the gift of God. We're free from the wrath of God. Beloved, there's coming a wrath of God upon this world. And if you look at the lives of men and women around you, you perhaps think, well, that's not true. Nobody seems to be concerned. But there are those who are. And I trust that you are, because one day, this same Jesus that we've had the privilege to talk about today, the one who died on that cross, is going to come. And we're either going to see Him as a loving Savior and hear Him say, welcome home, my child. Or if we do not acknowledge Him and accept Him, there's going to be a day, the Scripture says, that we're going to stand before Him and hear Him say, depart from me. I never knew you. The choice is ours today. Have you made that choice in your life? I pray that you have. God bless you. It's been so wonderful to be here with you. And I trust these few words, if I ask, few Sundays have been a blessing and a challenge to keep your lives. I know it has been to mine. May God bless you for His name's sake. Father, we thank You today for Your wonderful love. We could stand there forever and could not tell enough of Your love. But for the opportunities that we have and the privileges, we pray that we may never be ashamed, that we may tell others of this wonderful love that we experience in our own personal lives and share it, that the world may know that Jesus Christ is real, He's alive. He died, but yet He lives, and He lives within our hearts and lives. Thank You for this assembly, Lord. Thank You for these dear people. Over the years, we've come to love them. We pray that You'd continue to bless, protect, be with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you this morning.